Rangers till puck drop in what will be a matchup between Canada and the U.S. who meet in the final of a best-on-best tournament for the first time since 2010 Olympics. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you with the next hour as we are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Sammy, in with the good air, bad with the out.
Bad with the out.
Bad with the bad air.
I think what we decided to do is to open the show with you guys get to watch three fights in 9 seconds. Kip, me, Sammy, we're all going to just have a brawl.
You know how I felt in yesterday's show on we started something, let's finish it. But do you really expect a physical start?
You know what I do expect? I think a lot of Americans who heard about the three fights in 9 seconds and are now tuning in tonight, you got to give them one. I think they want one. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it helps the game. I don't know if it's anyone's purpose, but I bet there's some American boys who think, we got to give them one.
As Cooper or Sullivan work on their game sheets on starting, ooh, like it sets the tone.
It does. Yeah, you know what?
This is not
this
your typical
made
starter.
In the coach's office. That's true. And who's the visiting team tonight? I think it's Canada. So they'll have to submit their lineup first, which will
Bennett.
Bennett.
Will Bennett start?
Bennett.
Bennett, Hagel, Marchand.
This is not Marchand a hockey play.
That's how I start. In Boston. Make the fans feel a little weird about it. Put him out there. He's not going to play a ton tonight, I would imagine, but sort of a get him out there, let him rat it up, like having him out there to start.
In a few minutes, we'll throw to an interview we just conducted just a little while ago with Eric Lindros, Olympic gold medalist in 2002, Hockey Hall of Famer. He'll help us tee up the game as well. If you didn't catch Scott Niedermeyer in our first hour, go to your podcast. It'll be up soon. YouTube.
Who said, and I quote, I was open on the golden goal, Sidney Crosby, coming down the slot. No one's even looked. Take a look at the highlights.
He was.
Sid Adam.
How could he look him off?
Minimal changes to the lineup. Seth Jarvis is in. Konechny is out. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go to Cooper on that?
We played it in the first hour. We can play it again. Yeah, if you want to play it again for the national audience, we can play it again. Clip one from Cooper.
He's going to replace Konechny tonight, and the same reason there's a lot of, you know, why it was reversed the last game, and just needs and wants, and we built this team to win, and everybody's going to have to chip in their own ways. Some chip in some games, some chip in others, and some chip in all of them, and they've all been a big part of why we're sitting here, and it was ultimately it.
I do want to say, for everyone who, you know, we mentioned Niedermeyer in the first hour, we did a half an hour on the political side of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so to check out that first hour, if you're into that flair of it, because that is a piece of this. For some people, it's a big piece.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Let me ask you this.
And I don't want to take away from the great hockey that we've seen and some of the best players in the world are at it, but this thing's gone completely to another level.
Can I ask you guys that in his wildest dreams, and we had Gary Bettman on before the, you know, I don't know when that was, but we had him on and we talked a little bit about this and he was excited for it. But boys, in his wildest dreams, he could not have pictured this.
No.
Like he could, like his best case scenario for this is like six levels below what has happened with this tournament.
Yeah.
And you listen, you may not love it with the Trump stuff and the team and all the things that's going on with the Canadian team, but this has been beyond a rousing success for the NHL.
I mean, I don't know what an ad it is for this event when Trump tweets about it, but
yes,
it doesn't hurt public awareness that it's going on. So I'm sure the higher ups at the NHL are pretty cool with it. And they're like, oh no, Charlie McAvoy. Well,
the only thing is what can you truly take? What can you drag out of this series and take it to the NHL?
Sammy said just these two teams specified.
Right? Like, are Americans now going to be expecting three fights in 9 seconds to start most NHL games? Do we have to start focusing on more passion out of the players, more fighting out of the players to continue to draw the interest down there?
Well, I do think that there was a concerted effort to clean the game up in terms of some of the physical stuff, right? Some of the blindside hits and some of the other elements, having guys on the bench who only fought, right? There's no more pure enforcers. There's no more blindside. So maybe, go ahead.
They're not even calling penalties in this thing.
No, they're just boys.
Which is
figure it out.
Nothing like what we've seen in the regular season.
It's amazing.
But they're not going to love that if no one scores tonight because everyone's running interference. You know, like you might have to blow a couple whistles.
You're saying you love the way the game is called.
I'm saying it's been great. But I'm saying if the players know it's going to be called like that all the time, it probably changes how they act.
Wait till they get back to the ticky-tacky calls and then everybody's screaming, like, that's not like Four Nations. We want to like Four Nations.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's the case.
Can I be honest? I don't want to do the Four Nations anymore. That's just too much stress in my heart. Can we flip a coin tonight and I can just go on with my life after this? Like, this has been so much stress. I think a lot of people
tough
feel
day
it.
To be online if you care.
Connor, I think he mentioned, I don't want a Four Nations. I want more teams. Maybe it's, would more teams add to less stress?
I don't know. You want to bring Russia in? See, there's less stress, less geopolitical drama then.
Jesus.
You know, like, I'm not sure that helps. Because that's what you're talking about when you say more countries.
To me, it's either eight teams or these two teams five times.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, you don't need to do four. You don't need to do six. You need to do a big thing or just have these two teams play.
We have four, six, or eight teams the next time around. Can we just figure out
who gets to play?
Who gets to play? Who's on the team? This Quinn Hughes thing was
circus.
Like ridiculous. And, you know, this is where I give Jimmy Rutherford a ton of credit here because he said to the press, 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, that the call is on Quinn Hughes.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
He'll tell us if he's good enough to go or not go. He ends up doing the right thing, saying, I'm not going. And then they draw him back into it. The USA Hockey draws back into it to the point where Mike Sullivan's saying he's coming, and then Jimmy puts the hammer down.
Yeah, I don't think that's what happened.
Oh, I know it. I know it. That's how it's happened.
I think the NHL didn't want to make the choice of allowing him to step in or not allowing him to step in, so they said to the Canucks, do us a favor. Make him ineligible.
Whatever the case is, Jimmy said, you're not going.
Yeah, I think
the Vancouver Canucks shut him down.
Sure. I think it was a courtesy to the league.
I'm no longer leaving it in your hands, Quinn.
For sure. The Canucks made that call. How they got to that conclusion the same day he put on a full contact jersey,
chicanery and foot?
Tinfoil hat.
They're not doing him a favor because then they just turned around and invited Tage Thompson and
somebody else. Can't play. They definitely can't play.
Yeah, Brett Pesce.
But they could play if somebody got sick.
Yes, but Quinn could have played without that because he was on the original roster. He had a loophole.
Is that true?
He was on the first roster they made. He was one of the four guys they named. They named him to the team. He could have played. Had the NHL.
So why would they not have wanted him down there then?
The NHL. Because once they replaced him when he said he was injured and not coming, is he on the roster or is he not on the roster anymore? That's where it got vague. And it would have upset people to say they changed the rules. They just let this guy come in. It saved a whole circus.
To your point, Kipper, you know, I'm sure there's some Vancouver fans that the way things have gone, I'm sure there's a lot of them that are like, oh, maybe just let him go so he likes us and he wants to stay here. Like, maybe just let him go.
Or they could have said,
but
we don't want the same thing to happen with Charlie McAvoy.
But if he's not even going,
it's the best thing for the Canucks for sure.
But he's not even going to play. Like, they said he was just wanted to go and like be there to like support or whatever. I don't know.
And again, Jimmy wants to fly him all the way to Boston to cheerlead and then go all the way back to where are they, out west to start?
Vegas. I think
not a chance. Jimmy's gonna
I like
that.
It. I like what he did. I like that they said no. If that's the case, I'm a fan of it. But I'm sure there's a couple Canucks fans that are like, well,
yeah,
we can maybe let him do a little bit of what he wants, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, maybe a Leaf fan mentality.
Should be, you know, what some people are calling potentially one of the best games of all time. You have two completely loaded rosters trying their
hardest.
Butts off.
Trying their hardest.
Okay. We told you earlier we caught up with Eric Lindros, Olympic gold medalist in 2002. Let's throw to the Big E on his thoughts going into tonight's contest. Now let's welcome into the show Eric Lindros, Olympic gold medalist in 2002, Hockey Hall of Famer, and somebody that may know something about a Canada-USA matchup. Big E, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
I'm good, Kipper. How are you?
We're good. So listen, I mean, your thoughts, yeah. Just quickly, your thoughts before we get into more specifics, your overall thoughts on expectations out of this Four Nations before it started and where we are going into tonight's contest.
Expectations. I thought it would be good. I mean, if you don't have these things for a long time, it builds. That's the special part of it. I thought Montreal did a great job opening night. I thought it was electric. It's been exciting hockey. It's been everything. You've seen it all. It's had absolutely everything. And it's capping off tonight with the two best teams. And that should be, I mean, I'm looking forward to that as well. You guys must be.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But as far as the physicality that we saw in the first game Saturday night to the patriotism that we feel going into this game again, something that you thought that could snowball, or is this thing gone way over the top for you?
I always expected this. I don't know why anyone's shocked when you ask a hockey player to come and represent their country and they think that it's going to be an NBA all-star approach to things. Not a chance when it comes to representing your country, and especially if you're Canadian. So no, I'm not shocked at all. I think it's they've played well, and they got a shot at it. It's one game, and they've done everything so far fairly well, and they've given themselves a chance to win.
Eric, how does it feel different playing in these games, wearing the Canada sweater, playing these sort of single game eliminations, than being a part of a team, being in a playoff series, maybe?
Yeah, they're quick, right? Adjustments are really quick. I think that a lot of credit needs to go to the video guys in finding, they're putting things together before little bits here and there on what to expect. And the teams are changing constantly. That's why you've got such great coaching there. They're seeing things, they're reacting, they're not waiting till midway through the end of a period. There's no time. They're making changes within the 20 minutes of the period and switching things up right away. And they're everything from how the style and then maybe obviously the line changes here and there as well. So no, it happens quick. It's over in a blink, and boy, is it ever exciting.
Off of that, comparing maybe a game like tonight, or in general just representing your country, or representing the Philadelphia Flyers in a Stanley Cup final, can you compare the type of pressure is on one and the other? Is there any way that you could put into words what that feels like when you're dealing with those different type of pressure?
I don't think you differentiate. I think they're all massive games. They're just great big games, and you just kind of go back to your routine, and I don't know. I always thought, that scene in Hoosiers where I think it was Gene Hackman comes out and he takes the measuring tape and he goes underneath the rim, and the rim's the same height as the back home. You remember that?
I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that scene.
That's where you kind of ground yourself, and yeah, it's a big game, but you got to go out and play, and you got to go out and do what your responsibilities. Every little thing. You've mentally prepared yourself for anything that can go on, and every situation. You've done your homework with what the coaches have asked of you. Now it's just time to go out and perform. And it's a big game, but it's still a game, and it's going to be exciting.
Does having played for Canada make you more attached to these results? Like, how invested are you now? Or do you feel like someone who's like, I've already gone to war and fought my battle? Where do you, where's your emotional state?
For everybody. I don't care if it's World Juniors, U16, or I don't know. I mean, if they have anything at U16, but anytime Canada goes to play at any level, I think we're all cheering for Canada. And there's no question that the higher up the, the total pool of things go, the more invested we all are in hopes of success.
Did Saturday night's contest remind you of maybe 1996 between the two respective countries playing against each other? I just remember a very vicious series back then, Eric, that you were a part of.
It was. It was a heavy series. It didn't have the opening 3 minutes or
three fights.
But no, it was heavy. Yeah, it was, we were in the last one, I think was in Montreal. And we were right up. I think we were leading going into the third. I think we were in good shape. We're close. I mean, again, these things happen so fast. Things change quickly. And in the case of, you know, one period of hockey, we went from being up and then heading home as second place finisher. So it was, it was disappointing, but it was, as I recall, it was extremely, it was physical. The whole thing was physical. They had, the U.S. had, you know, Johnny LeClair and Guerin and, you know, they had a pretty big lineup, Hatcher, and they were big, they were heavy, and they played that way.
As you did, but when you look down your roster and you see some guys that aren't really built to play that type of game, or their comfort zone isn't really in that environment, is that something that you notice as a teammate? Is that possibly a scenario tonight where you look down Canada's lineup or the U.S. looks down their lineup and goes, okay, this guy can play this way, but this guy can't?
Well, I think everyone can play to a certain extent anything that your coach is asking you to do. You know, everyone can get in the way of somebody. Everyone can, you know, explode through their legs and give somebody a pop. I mean, Bennett pushes back so hard and so well, and he's a huge force out there. You know, the Tampa line's been great. I mean, listen, everyone's capable of doing it from time to time, and actually all the time. It's just a matter of what you're being asked and going out and doing what's being asked. We're not sure what's being asked, right? We're not in the room kipper, as you know, and Jason. So it's you can be asked, and you're all capable of doing it. It's lining somebody up is not that tricky.
Eric, how do you feel about the evolution of American hockey? And, you know, they like to say that they've caught us. Most of us here don't think they're there yet, but they've certainly made strides, haven't they?
They certainly have. We talk about academies and the way that they're going in that direction. It's something that we should, possibly be looking at. You know, who knows? It's, I'm just getting started here in minor hockey, with my kids, and it's, been extremely eye-opening. I'll say that, with what goes on and how this all works, and where the emphases are. And I think if there's one thing that we can all agree on is that everyone in this tournament, every player in this tournament that's there, they all skate extremely well. They are all powerful, powerful skaters. And without the skating, I don't think anyone's got a chance to even be considered for a roster spot. So I think that's one thing we all can agree to.
Whether it's your kids, their friends, fair-weathered fans, do you think this week has a real chance to add some growth to our game, to take it to another level?
I think so. I think they've done a great job with it. I think it's exciting. Certainly the holding back for what, 9-10 years, and now we've got something that hopefully doesn't have to happen again. But will it, if we do it every 2 years, does it change things? I don't. It might dilute it somewhat in terms of excitement. But let's just look at this for what it is today, and the excitement that it brings today, and what it does for Canada, and how it's I think it's brought our country together in a sense. And at a special time too. I love it. I just love it. And I hope we pull it out.
Yeah. It's been very exciting. I think it's very likely that we get a close game tonight, that a lot of these games tend to be low scoring. Do you feel that the net front game, it makes a big difference in these, like a lot of parking at the net, rebounds, banging at goalies, or do you think that the skill still wins and we'll see some great passing and skating out there?
I think you see both, but the, you know, when it gets right down to it, where, what they're doing, I think with certainly McDavid and McKinnon is, you know, they're wedge and they're keeping them wide. So entries are wide. That's old school. You know, I don't know if you're going to see a whole lot through the middle and you know, everything seems to happen. Kipper scored. How many goals you score in front of the net, whether you're North Bay or with the Rangers, Kipper?
Yeah, about 90% of them.
Right. Yeah. So there's not many. If you look back in terms of highlight goals and things like that, apart from, you know, maybe Mario letting the pass go through his legs, I don't think you see too many highlight goals that occur in these types of games. They're mostly they're not always pretty, but they're effective and they count nonetheless. So it's kind of goes back to the old school and the meat and potatoes where things happen is usually in front of the net and lots of action and chaos.
Could that be frustrating for a guy like Connor McDavid or McKinnon who are just used to maybe going 1,000 miles an hour through the neutral zone and not having it closed off as quickly? Is there a sense that the Americans can do what they did Saturday night in the third period and just completely close it off? Is that tough for a star player?
I don't know what's going through. I would assume it is. Yeah. I think you would assume it is as well, but you find a way, right, Kipper? You're like, if plan A is not working, what are we going to do? And, because there's no way we're going to look at this and just give up. I mean, we got to come up with another solution and I'm sure that they've talked about it. Going back to the video guys and all the planning that goes into it, it's coaches set up the game plan and, you know, they're going to have something organized, but that's going to, you know, they'll look at their bench and they're going to put them in the best possible position and give the best situation or system for them to go and achieve looking at what they have.
Where do you feel like Canada's advantages lie here tonight? Do we have the leg up anywhere? Or do you see this being a coin toss?
I think it's going to be tight, yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be tight. But I just feel in my heart that there's something special that our group is going to pull out. I just have this feeling that it's going to be a great night.
Nice.
One more for me, E, and that's just the room tonight led by Sidney Crosby. He's the guy that I got to think teammates are going to be leaning on towards tonight. I'm not even sure you were 18 at the time when you first experienced Team Canada in 91, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And maybe who in the dressing room you kind of looked at or leaned towards to get your feel around international hockey at the NHL level.
You know, it's interesting because it's, and a lot of these, it's very quiet. They're all, you know, when I was going through it, you know, Dirk Graham was a big voice in our room. And when you with anytime there was it wasn't always roses with Mike Keenan in there, so it was Dirk Graham was in there, was a big influence. Steve Larmer was a huge influence in 91. I mean, there's always like everywhere if you look around that room, they're all captains, assistant captains of their respective teams, right? Many of them. They're professionals. They know what to do. They know how to go about it, and you know, you look within and you look beside you and you feel confident with the group that you've got to go to war with. And, you know, it's, you know, the game is tonight. It's only one game and let's just give it our all and do what we can and no regrets.
Maybe John Cooper pulls out a measuring tape and measures the boards and the rink and the net behind
four by six, baby.
Woo! Total Hoosiers moment.
The little Hoosier moment. Nothing changes. Let's go play.
Enjoy your night, the big game, and we'll all be cheering. Thanks for doing this, man.
All right. See you, Kevin. See you guys.
Thanks so much.
Bye bye.
Couple things that stood out for me. Hmm. Number one is what you probably dreaded hearing. Doesn't expect any highlight goals.
Yeah.
The middle, nope. Taken away, a bounce in front of the net.
Buddy,
more often.
It's Mark Stone and Chris Kreider time out there, I'm telling you.
I mean, but
that speaks to me. Like, Saturday night had half the game had Tortorella's fingerprints all over it, mm-hmm. Just everything on the outside, nothing in the middle.
I mean, the U.S. is probably the slightly less offensively talented team. You would expect them to pack it in, yeah, try to keep the Canadians to the outside.
Yeah. The other thing that stood out for me with Eric is the fact that everybody is capable of coming out of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And he says everybody can get in the way of somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's true. That's where I think Canada kind of let themselves down a little bit in the back half of Saturday night. And everybody's got to be all in.
Yeah. No kidding.
And that goes for the USA team too. I watched Jack Hughes, and Jack Hughes didn't get to act like Jack Hughes of the New Jersey Devils Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a different brand of hockey where there's not room. There's not room to have the puck for long.
And just to your point about the ugly goals, I'll think back to the 2010 gold medal game. All the goals were, Perry scored one where it just bounced on a stick in the slot.
Jerome
had
two, didn't he?
No, Jerome had none. It was Taves scored.
Which year?
Sorry, 2010.
Oh, 2010. Yeah, 2002. 2002, yes. I'm talking about. Yeah, sorry.
And he had a rather big assist in overtime.
Yep.
But the goals were just Taves bangs went in along the end board, along the goal line. Perry hammers one in from the slot, no high, and then, the one in overtime. Yeah. Theirs were both tricklers. Not going to be a pretty one tonight in terms of the goal.
Connor is out there. So
it was pretty pretty.
I know you want to do game time, have you heard Nathan MacKinnon repeatedly referring to Connor McDavid as the best player in the world?
Yeah, because he is.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But and someone even asked him, why do you keep, saying that MacKinnon won the MVP trophy last year, he's favored to win it this year, why do you keep calling McDavid the MVP or the best player in the world? And he was like, watch him.
You need to ask.
Yeah, he honestly was like, I can't believe you need to ask that. Watch him.
Anyway. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
anyways, it's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So Borny wanted me to bring this number up. I don't know why he wants this for my mental health. He's a really bad friend. But I guess a tie in this game, a.k.a. it goes to overtime. And Borny was wanting to know what that number was. When I checked this morning, that number was plus 300.
Yeah.
So if you think this game has a
bet
chance to go to overtime.
Win 40 if it goes to overtime. You could make a worse bet than that.
I don't know if I can.
Listen, nobody needs overtime.
No, Sam couldn't handle it.
Overtime is not.
No, the players don't need it. They've got. There's 28 games Saturday.
No one cares about the Saturday games. No one cares about the rest of the games.
Guys care. Guys care.
Not as much as
teams
they care about
care.
This game.
Teams care, for sure. And by the way, go ahead. You finish.
And the other thing that I'll bring up is I didn't do it on Saturday night, and this is something that I've always been a fan of in really big games. You know, a lot of money on the Leafs in these games, betting against the Leafs. Happiness hedge for anyone listening. You put a big bet on the American money line, you're at least compensated for extreme heartbreak. I can't recommend it enough.
You're like a passenger on Delta. They'll give you a bunch of money for your hardship.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're feeling really worried about this game, if you want a little bit of compensation, just put a little money line
really
bet on America.
It boggles my mind that you have to give your money away to feel good.
The question could be
the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
How much would I pay for Canada to win this game? And that's the question I have to ask myself, and that's the question I'm not going to tell my wife. I hope she's not listening. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for this odds. Find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Jeremy Roenick just texted me back, so we're going to hit the break.
Okay, we're going to hit the break, and we return. We'll give it we've had Scott Niedermayer, Hall of Famer. We've had Eric Lindros, Hall of Famer. Canadian flavor. We'll go to the U.S. flavor with Jeremy Roenick.
It's flavorful.
From Boston. You're not going to want to miss this one. We're back after these words.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, no accident. We left the fireworks for the last part of our show. Let's welcome in Hockey Hall of Famer, USA hockey legend, Jeremy Roenick. JR, how are you, pal? You ready?
I'm great, Kipper. Great to be with you, man. Great to be with you. So, I love it. What a great night it's going to be.
It is. So, listen, I mean, you throughout your amazing career, you were an Olympian. You've participated in Canada Cups, World Cups. How does something like tonight compare?
Well, seeing as we haven't had this level of hockey in almost 10 years, which in our nation's colors, I think this is as exciting and as excited as I've been to watch a hockey game in a long time. We know what this means to each country, Kipper. We talk about the powerful nations. Obviously, hockey is Canada's game, and us in the United States have been trying to chase down that mantra for a long time. And what's happening in USA Hockey, what we've done in the World Juniors, you know, it's another chapter of great hockey and this great rivalry that we know is going to be exciting. Look what happened Saturday. Who would have thought that would have happened? But we did. And now with everything that's going on in our countries, with the political landscape, with Donald Trump talking about 51st state, with the booing of the national anthem and the Kachucks and the Sam Bennett's, this is a great matchup. This is what we want in hockey. I'm just shocked that it's in February in the middle of an NHL season.
So let me ask you, with the call from the President of the United States, first of all, as you represented the USA, did you ever talk to the President during a tournament? And if so, as far as his call today, I'm going to give you three choices. You tell me what comes to the top of your head here. Extra motivation for the USA team, extra pressure on the USA team, or billboard material for Canada?
Definitely the first two. There's no question. But would it surprise you if I said it doesn't surprise me that Donald Trump get a word in on something, on anything, especially something of this magnitude? Yes, he's going to have his say. He's going to be involved in some way. I mean, we all see how he feels about America. He's going to boast. He's going to do whatever he can to get things going. I think no question in that locker room, just hearing his voice, like that's the President of the United States. I don't care if you like him or you don't like him. If anything, if I was in that locker room and President Obama called, I wasn't a big Obama fan, but I would have been pumped up. I would have been just so excited. And I would think anybody should be the same. That's the president that's rooting on your country. So there's no question that's a motivation factor. I don't think the pressure is anymore, because they know what U.S. versus Canada is. And they know that it is the only game in North America tonight that is the main game maybe in the decade of hockey. There'd be more people watching this game than watch any other game in decades. And that's exciting for me. And I will say, if USA wins or Canada wins, it's great for their countries. But you know who wins in this? It's hockey. Hockey wins in this situation because it's on the top minds of everybody, and that's what I love.
JR, maybe no hockey player would have better built for the first time these two teams played than you. That would have been right up your alley. I feel like you would have loved it. So tonight, they go at it a second time. Is there, you know, if you were in this game, would you want to start the game physically similarly to last time, or would there be more of a focus on the puck and actually trying to shoot it in the net?
Oh man, I think this game has been so hyped. It would be really hard not to start with a physical bang, but it is the last game. It is the final. You should be putting the game to winning the game. There's no question about that. But again, the pride is on the line. You can see some of the jabs being sent forth and back and forth. Hagel saying, you know, that Matthew Tkachuk only fights for the camera. He doesn't fight for his colors, for his country. You know, those are fighting words. And it's not going to be surprising to me if they start the same way. However, they do have to play a game, and winning this game is very important. And I will say the U.S. is banged up a little bit. There's no question they have some injuries, more so than Canada. They lost McAvoy, which is a huge loss in the backside. And they're looking at probably one of the best teams ever put on paper since the 87 Canada Cup, right? So, I mean, I would be nervous, but it's going to be great.
So the Tkachuks, they set the tone. They put Canada on the heels. Canada stood up, but they were the ones that were reactive, not proactive. What do you expect in the first seconds of puck drop? Who takes on the message early here?
Yeah. Well, there's no question. I think you're going to see them the same actors, because there's no way that the Tkachuks aren't going to be involved in stirring the pot. That's what they do best. They do it better than anybody else. There's no question that Sam Bennett is going to be in there. Not many players do it like he does. I would be very surprised if those guys weren't on the ice for the first faceoff. And they are going to jaw each other right before that puck is going to be dropped. But, you know, I hope a couple things. I hope that the national anthems go with tremendous amount of respect. I hope they play a real good, hard-hitting hockey game that is fair, get a couple good fights in there. That's usually the case between USA and Canada. And, God, there's so much riding. There's so much riding on Canada. I mean, listen, USA has taken a big leap in their development programs. We're doing better. There's more NHL players that come from the U.S. than ever before in the National Hockey League. And Canada, if you think about it, they've taken a little bit of a step down in terms of their dominance. And you can disagree with me or not, but I think this will be a good way to keep Canada's game and not give USA the opportunity to say, you guys were has-beens, it's us now. That would be a crazy thing, but it's still Canada's game, but we need to win tonight to get a little bit more dominance in this sport.
JR, how do you weigh your international hockey memories compared to your NHL memories?
It was much different. Obviously, you're playing for 300 million people rather than just a city of 10 or 15 million. You have more eyes on you. You have more expectations. You're a smaller phenomenon in the big scheme of things, right? You have millions of kids, millions of people that can be playing in a team, and you're one of 20. There's a lot of pride that goes into that. So, and you know, you want to do your best for your country. It's a different mind frame. And this is why you're seeing this physical brand of hockey in a short four-game tournament in the middle of an NHL season, that you could get five games and not see as many fights as we saw on Saturday. I mean, that's what it means to them. They're physical, they're hitting, they're engaged, they're jawing at each other. We've seen more intensity in four games of this tournament, or six games, or however many games in this tournament. Even the Finns and Swedes play the same way than we've seen in most games in the National Hockey League. And I just think it's a great representation of what the National Hockey League can bring. And I think this whole tournament has been a huge success.
I love watching some players that may need to come out of their comfort zone on a game like tonight, right? And sometimes you watch games and it's not as passionate or as physical, and guys can get their points. And then you watch a game like Saturday night or possibly tonight when things are awfully tight. Give me a couple of names that you think have been rather quiet but could step up tonight.
Well, for me, Austin Matthews pops off the chart on me right now, pops right off the page for the Americans. Obviously, he's bought into the kind of patient defensive style of game that Mike Sullivan thinks that his team needs to play in order to be successful. He has to have a big night. There's no question about it. So I'm going to look at Austin Matthews on the USA side. On the other side, with the exception of the goal, I think Brad Marchand's been very quiet. He's one of those guys that can really instigate, get underneath people's skin, plays physical, is a big game, big goal scorer type mentality that he can be. I think look for him to be more engaged in a game like tonight. I think McKinnon, he's had flashes of brilliance, but I don't think he's been the great McKinnon that we've watched this year, who's leading the league in points. So I'm going to see how the big stage is accepted by some of these guys that are, there's so much pressure on, that makes so much money in the National Hockey League. But no, none more important for the U.S. than Austin Matthews. He's got to find a way to put the puck in the net, whether it's on the power play or find some open ice. But the team, I don't think, wins unless Austin Matthews has his footprint into this game.
Well, we're looking to a lot of fun tonight, JR, and we really appreciate you making time for us, man. I know
I came to a nice quiet spot in the hotel to make sure I had time for you, Kipper, and you, Gordy. I said, no way I'm going to not have the opportunity to talk to my great fans in Canada. And by the way, can I just say, listen, I don't like that the USA anthem got booed. I don't like it. I understand it. I totally get it. I think, you know, you Canadians up there are proud people, man. You love your sport. You're proud Canadians. I wouldn't think you want to be the 51st state either.
Thank you, JR.
I totally I totally understand it, but I still want USA to win. So that's my take.
Fair enough. Thanks for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
Spread that word around down there, would you? Right? Let them know. Let them know that we don't like it.
I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be in the garden tonight saying, no, shh. I'm listening to the effing song.
Great stuff, JR. Have fun tonight, pal.
Okay, bye. See you later.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Hockey Hall of Famer and U.S. hockey legend Jeremy Roenick.
Yeah, the Canadian anthem definitely getting booed tonight, hey?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean,
that's fine.
Totally fine.
Whatever.
See, can't a few players, current players, say what he just said? Is that so hard?
Yeah. No, I don't think it is. It would have been nice to hear from someone instead of, you know.
No comment.
Trump fuel tonight. We're super powered now.
I mean, Hannafin was saying that, like, they're doing it for Trump. Like, there's got, like, JT Miller's horned up about Trump. There's a few guys that they want to win it for Trump. And I guess, hey, they voted for him. It's their prerogative.
Yeah. You know, 70 million people there didn't vote for him, too. So there's a little bit of both.
I'm glad, you know, I love JR, but just. That went great. You never know.
You were worried?
Well, listen, when he said, you know, one more thing and started on Canada, that was...
No.
What a sweet guy. Listen,
he's no dummy. Like, he knows where we are and who our audience are.
Yeah.
I got the feeling from that, you know, JR has gone through a lot. And we know the stories and we know everything that he's gone through with hockey and some of it very bad and all the stuff that he's been in the spotlight for. That to me just seemed like a genuinely happy, excited guy who finally got into the Hall of Fame, going to this hockey game tonight, USA.
Buddy,
it's kind of just super.
But just because you're stressed doesn't mean it's not going to rule.
No, like he seemed really excited. And like
you
having him there.
Perspective.
Bingo. You know? That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And
I get all of that. It could just be a bounce here. And it is sport.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, and hockey's the stupidest of them in that regard.
Hopefully it bounces off their body.
It would really help us.
Yeah.
I don't know what sacrifice we need to make to the hockey gods, but hey, if you're up there this time, we need you.
Please, baby. I believe there's a drop in me. Just win.
Yeah.
Just win. Please win. There it is.
Any clips you want to squeeze in?
We do have some Cooper.
So I cut this clip and, you know, you were talking about the in-tournament perspective, and I'd be interested to get your opinion. I'm hesitant to even play it, but can we get the clip 5 Cooper on the fans in Boston?
There's probably going to be more Canadians here than there were Americans in Montreal, if that made any sense. So, you know, I think in that regard, there might be, you know, hotly contested on the ice, and there could be chants going on in the stands. And but, you know, we're here to celebrate the sport. And we can sit here and talk politics all we want. This is a different avenue, and for me, we're here to celebrate a game, and if after this game, all the little girls out there and boys out there that are inspired by the players that play this game and how they compete, and if they, after watching tonight, go and become hockey players, that's the real win, not the real wins on the ice.
Tell you what, the real winner here is the city of Portland. Every time I come here, it gets harder to leave.
But there's something in the water. What are you?
That's just.
It's the biggest game. It's a blood feud. It's a big win here, as if little boys and girls love hockey. No, it's not the big win.
Zoom out, Sam.
Coop,
zoom out.
It is not the big win.
We need them to grow up more like Tom Wilson.
How about you?
That's all.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, you know, if they watch this game, get inspired to play. And I was like, my daughter's feisty. I don't know how many people are going to love the way the last game started for their 5-year-old daughters.
Hey, if there's a little boy or girl that watches the start of that game and they, like you said, get inspired to play like Tom Wilson or the Kachucks and they're Canadian.
Bring it on.
I would really love a goalie to get inspired tonight.
Yeah.
I'd really love. I was playing shinny the other morning and there was a kid there. He's like, oh, I'm usually a goalie. I'm like, you any good? He's like, yeah, I played AAA. I'm like, well, you going to play for Canada soon? Because, boy, we need you.
Yeah, we need like a Bennington like two pad stack glove save or something to inspire a couple of kids.
Yeah.
A couple of French kids, ideally.
Yeah.
Can we get the cue?
Sorry not to call out Quebec.
Used to be our goalie
what
factory.
Happened? He's made a couple.
He has made a couple.
He's actually made some really big saves. Unfortunately, a couple squeakers. But
specifically, if you go back to the Sweden game where he let in the stinker against Kempe, they tie the game late. You go into that overtime. And Mitch Marner ends up scoring the winner in 3-on-3, one of the big reasons they're in the finals. And we can talk about other parts of the tournament with him. One of the big reasons they're in the final, too, is Binnington was unbelievable in that 3-on-3 overtime. The amount of cross-crease saves he made, he is a squirrely gamer. He'll let in a bad one, but he'll make a big save. It's just not the most comfortable experience.
Says, don't tell me the odds. I don't want percentages. I don't want your numbers. Give me the vibes.
This is uncomfortable.
Cooper must have some feeling that there's going to be a lot of Canadians
in the building. I do feel like we won't be able to rival Montreal because not everyone's pulling in the same direction. I feel like it'll be a little, but you should have a more consistent sort of roar.
Yeah.
As someone's always cheering for something.
I think JR mentioned it. McAvoy does take away a presence back there for
I think yesterday you said that his hit on McDavid and then subsequent hit on McDavid and then subsequent hit on Crosby kind of started to turn the tone.
Yeah. Well, you even saw that clip. I don't know. I mean, I watched it barely, but there's a clip of Brady Tkachuk being like, that was all Charlie. He set the tone. He set the tone. It's like, I mean, I almost barfed the second I finished watching it, but that there is a point of that.
Brady seems
the other one I find myself kind of missing now for Team Canada is a Shea Weber.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
I'll take Kale McCarr, thanks.
We used to have both.
Different players, though.
Yeah.
We used to have both kind of guys.
Yeah, but it's not, I'm saying that you have Kale McCarr, but you're missing a Shea Weber.
Yeah.
That physical presence.
But
let's
be real. They don't have Shea Weber either. Not even close.
McAvoy looked like Shea Weber to me Saturday night.
He was Shea Weber's younger brother at best.
younger brother.
Yeah.
Can I say that if there's, and I don't want to be negative going into this game. Because positivity. But if there's one part of Team Canada's identity that from years past to now, I think what's missed is we have an unbelievable skilled defensive core. We do. But like having the just big, mean mutant guy.
Yeah. Pronger. Shea Weber.
The Foots of the world.
Stevens at times.
Rob Blake's.
Like he scored once in the last game.
Who?
Canada
against the US. I'm just saying like, as a bigger picture thing, we used to have the meanest kids.
Get your head off skill and get it in get it in the gutter.
It's a insane Canadian conclusion to be like, you know what we missed in that game we lost 2-1? More a hit.
No. We're going bloodbath tonight.
Dummies.
Come on.
A couple of dummies.
It's about identity, Barney.
Exactly.
It's about identity. Can't beat them on the score sheet. Beat them in the streets.
We cannot
have... That's a loser's attitude.
For sure.
Beat him on the scoreboard, please.
Can't have that middle shutting down completely tonight.
Yeah.
No,
so?
Not gonna.
What are we thinking tonight, boys? We got to need some detailed predictions.
I'm not going against Canada.
I think there's going to be a few more special teams. There hasn't been much
power
of that
play?
At all.
You think the word is a couple power plays early to settle them down?
I do. I think the refs are aware that the last time these two played, it was a little squirrely. And I think there'll be some, hey, we're not doing that early sort of stuff.
Or they can just get the hell out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty good, too.
I think the general managers around the league would be like, no, call it tight.
Yeah.
I don't think you should get out of the way, refs.
Yeah, go ahead and call
There's
got to
be some teams freaking out right now.
How's Stan Bowman watching this game tonight? How's Joe Sakic watching? Well, I mean, he's played for Canada. He's probably pretty excited, but like watching that, like it's gonna be so.
We know how Boston's watching tonight.
Score prediction:
3-2 Canada.
Yeah, listen, it's the safest answer. I'm taking it to 3-2. All aboard.
Because I picked them to win last time and they lost, I'll say the States win.
Oh, you.
No, you're hedging.
Who am I kidding? Canada 5-1.
Yeah, woo! There he is. Let's go.
All right. Just like that. 2 hours gone. Fastest.
What a show, boys.
Show in hockey.
I can't believe we've got to wait 2 more hours till puck drop.
2 hours before puck drop. Our thanks to Eric Lindros, Scott Niedermeyer, and Jeremy Roenick for their thoughts on tonight's big game. Wherever you're watching, Have a good time with your family, friends. And remember, it's just a sport.
Oh, come on.
No, Sammy.
Boo.
Win, baby. Win.